Thanks, Fa. Wonderful to be with you this morning, everybody. And just to let you know that Pastor David and Rochelle are actually at Jacob and Melissa Hill's church. They're ministering there, and I know they're going to be a great blessing, so pray for them. And they're going to be there for the morning. They're going to be speaking into the church and bringing a word, and it's just going to be fantastic. So we miss them. But they're going to be a huge blessing where they are this morning. As we come this morning, we commit this word to you, and we pray that it would be of great blessing to every listener, those online that have joined us this morning, those that are here in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is not new to a lot of you, but one of my favourite hymns is "It Is Well With My Soul." Anybody else here? And I want to share with you, I know a lot of you will have heard this, but I never grow tired of hearing that the story that surrounds the writing of this song. Now, we all know that life can be unpredictable, and there's joys, there's sorrows, there's beautiful blessings, there's difficulties that can come so unexpectedly. And, you know, our lives can change in an instant. Well, Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney. He was a real estate investor. And sadly, he lost a fortune in the Chicago fire of 1871. But not only that, around the same time, his beloved four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking that a vacation would do the rest of his family so much good, after all that had happened, he sent his wife and his four daughters on a holiday on a ship to England. He was planning to join them after he'd finished doing some pressing business at home. So while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all four of Horatio Spafford's precious daughters. His wife, Anna, survived the tragedy. Upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram, which was, for those of you who are young, telegrams were a way of communicating important message back in the day, and need to put a bit of context to a telegram. And it wasn't an email, it wasn't an Instagram. And she sent this telegram, and this is what it said. It said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England. At one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck the Spafford family, summoned Horatio to tell him that where they were passing over was where the shipwreck had occurred. And so you can imagine that as Horatio thought about his daughters, words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind, and he wrote those words down, and they were, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." Perhaps you and I today can't always say that everything is well in all the very, very, very many different challenges that we face in our lives. And there will always be storms to face. And sometimes they will be tragedies. But with faith in our loving God and with trust in his divine help, we can confidently also say, like Horatio, it is well with my soul. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, and they too find themselves in a storm. So I'm reading from verse 45 of Mark 6. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said this, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he was, wherever he went, into villages, towns, all the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplace and they begged him to let them even touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. You know, there's so much this morning. I could have you here for hours, which I'm not going to do, to just glean from this storm experience that the disciples found themselves in. And many of you have heard this passage of scripture this morning. But there is a couple of nuggets of truth that I just want to really pass on to you and just to encourage your hearts and to build you up, because I don't know in this room what sort of storm that you're going through, that you're facing. But in the passage found in verse 48, it says he was about to pass by. Now, for you and I, passing by is not really that relevant or important. Oh, I passed by your house. Oh, I passed by the shops. I passed by, you know, your street. Passing by is not really something that is that significant. But in the context of this particular verse 48, we have to go back to the Old Testament to understand the significance of he was about to pass by. So in Exodus 33, Moses said to God, show me your glory. And God replied, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then, wait, in 1 Kings, God told Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. All right. So, then we go to Jesus is here and he's walking on water, which tells us, first of all, that this is no ordinary person. Big clue, he's walking on water. But now it says he's also passing by. Now, this is the language that God uses in Scripture, throughout Scripture, to reveal himself. So God revealed himself to Moses at Sinai, on Mount Horeb to Elijah. Now God is revealing himself in the person of Jesus Christ to his disciples when they're in trouble in their boat. And he's saying, this is not anybody that's come to you and is passing by. This is God himself coming to you in your storm. Amen? Then we see that when the disciples saw Jesus and they thought he was a ghost, he says to them this, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Now, once again, in context, what Jesus actually said, take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. And what this means is that when Moses asked God for his name, when God first reveals himself to Moses, God gave his name as I am the I am. You see, Real Life Church, I am is God's personal name. And God is, it's how God describes himself. I am the I am. So what Jesus is actually saying to these fearful, doubtful disciples in this is that the God who created the world from nothing, who set the stars in their place, who gave us life, who made an everlasting, unbreakable covenant with his people, who delivered Israel, the great I am, is now walking on the water in the middle of your storm. That's who is passing by. So what God does is he reveals his presence and his identity so that we can have confidence in the storm. Do you know who's with you in your storm? The great I am is walking with you. Amen? So he's showing his presence, he's showing his identity. And you know, for anyone who's been around longer than, you know, a few years, you will have noticed that hardship and pressure comes. Anybody noticed? And at times it can feel like God is absent or silent. But today what I want to encourage you and spur you on to have this great confidence inside of you, to remember on a daily basis that Jesus, the great I am, assures us, no matter how we feel, of his constant presence. His constant presence. Yeah? We may feel like leaving him. He promises he will never leave us. He is with us, and we need to remember in the storm we're in, with all that's going on in the world today, who we are and who we belong to. Because this morning, in case you've forgotten, you are a son and a daughter, and you belong to Jesus. And while we are not exempt from storms because of who we are and who we belong to, what happens is this beautiful exchange happens, and he exchanges our weakness for his strength. He exchanges our total loss at knowing what to do, and he gives us his ability. And where there's turmoil and panic and worry, he actually gives us peace in the midst of our storm. So what we can also learn from this passage this morning is that we don't get an exemption from suffering. When we follow Jesus, we go through storms. And often when we're right smack bang in the middle of that storm, our emotions can be so profoundly strong that we can feel almost like we're drowning. We have no idea what's going on or what to do. And it's often not until we look back that we recognise, as we reflect back, that God was with us the whole time. He hadn't gone anywhere. We also see from this account in Mark that Jesus was standing on the shore, and he could see that the disciples were struggling with their oars against this fierce wind. And he's standing there, and he's standing there, and he's watching, and he's standing there. But the Word of God tells us it wasn't until between 3 and 6 that morning when the disciples had thought, well, he's over on the shore. He's forgotten all about us. And they were alone in a dark night and felt completely abandoned. And I know here this morning, there are many of you in a dark night. You've had dark nights too. And you've been alone, you've felt alone in your darkness. And it's felt like the morning's never going to come. And you feel abandoned. And I felt exactly like that when I had postnatal depression. I went for a walk one day. I was so in such a dark place. And I cried out to God and I said, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you allowed this horrible darkness to come into my life? And it felt like God was absent. It felt like he'd abandoned me. Anybody else relate to that? But then, he speaks. And he comes and he reminds his disciples who he is. And he climbs into their boat and the wind dies down. You see, storms, whether they're big or whether they're small, they're very real. When you're in them, you can feel tossed about. And every moment in the history of man has had storms. From the fall of man, both within ourselves, without ourselves, on a bigger scale, storms have raged and victimized mankind. And right now, today, we can see that there are storms in the earth that are causing so much terror and fear and chaos and panic. And so what are we as God's people? What do we need to do in this hour, in this time? Yeah? Now, there are some obvious big ticket items like prayer. We know that. And that's wonderful. And so we're praying about all that's happening with COVID. We're praying about Afghanistan. And that's wonderful. But we need to not just do that, but we need to be a people that are willing to step up. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, step up. We need to be willing to step up and to find out what is to be done and how to do it. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the frenzy of world events. You know, there's so many opinions flying out there, political agendas. And you know what can happen even as the people of God if we're not careful? We can become slaves to it. Yeah? First thing we do is we find out how many cases there are, yeah? And we become so enveloped in the storm. And it seems like everywhere I go, everyone's talking about COVID-19. We've got lockdown conversations. We've got hard border conversations. We've got the number of daily cases. We've got vaccinations and so on and so on. And while these are important, they have the potential to divide us as Christians. Now more than ever in these times, you know what we need to do? We need to step up and be unified. Amen? Please, can I implore you, don't fall out in your relationships because you have a difference of agreement over these matters. Amen? Every generation needs people who can understand the times and know what to do in light of them. It's not just understanding the Bible, but knowing how to apply it, especially in the storm. So God needs his people in all seasons to step up, to be the voice of hope and of wisdom, not fear and scaremongering. And you know what? Now more than ever before, we need to be pointing people towards Jesus. We need to be speaking Jesus and his word, not getting caught up in conspiracy theories and propaganda. Our focus needs to be staying strong, reading his word and keeping our hearts soft and open to his Holy Spirit. You know, in all the chatter and the noise of the media reporting what is going on, what we need to do right now in response to all of this information that's flooding the various screens of our life is we need to be listening and leaning in. It's a lot of noise. It's a lot of chatter. But what's God saying? We can't become slaves to the storms of life, focusing on the storm and not on Jesus. And we see in this same account in Matthew where Peter walks to Jesus on the water, but when he takes his eyes off him, what happens? He starts to sink. It's exactly the same for us. Eyes firmly fixed. Eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. I want to read you something that is a real help in this time in relation to listening. It says, he makes wars to cease throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields in the fire. Are you ready? Be still and know that I am God, the great I am. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted over the whole earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Selah. Be still. Stop. Listen. Lean in. Psalm 46, 9 to 11. It's what I just read. Now, you all know, if you've listened to me speak before, that I'm all about getting on the solution side of our faith and believing. So I want to leave you with three ways to step up in the season that we're in. If you're a note taker, now's the time. So the first one is, step up and guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, our heart is our feelings, our intellect, our will. And we need to keep a spiritual heart, a healthy spiritual heart. And, you know, sometimes in times like these, in storms like these, we can be continually projecting into the future, worrying about our tomorrows. But you know, the scriptures tell us, God's word tells us, to live one day at a time and to live it as well as we can. Often, those things that we can obsess and fret about and that occupy our thinking never ever happen. Yeah? Jesus, the great I am, holds you and me in the palm of his hand, and he is right now continually interceding about Afghanistan, about COVID, to the Father on our behalf. He knows. He's got the inside story. He knows the beginning from the end. So guard the atmosphere around you. Make sure you spend time with people who are going to build up you up in your faith and not be negative and critical. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable to the Lord. Build up those around you. Encourage them to be the person that they were meant to be, that they were called to be. Call out the greatness. You were talking about the person next to you. Call out the greatness in the person next to you. So point number one, step up and guard your heart. Step number two, step up to living a balanced life. Don't live your life in extremes. Even godly subjects can become out of alignment if you don't temper and balance them with your thinking and your believing. And you know, one of the key areas that has been so prevalent throughout these last 2-3 years has been the area of mental health. And I've talked to a lot of people who have been struggling with that. And what I've noticed is that when you just focus in on one subject and that's all you can talk about and all you can think about, you find that you need to bring it back into balance. Don't go into excess, even with biblical beliefs. Don't be tossed about by every wind and doctrine. Be stable and healthy in your mind. Keep the balance. Step up and keep the balance. Amen? So we've got step up and guard your heart. Step up and keep the balance. And we've got step up and be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you know who God is, the great I am, and you know who you are, chosen and loved by your Father God, then you'll also know this, that He promises to provide all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And you also know that if you keep your mind and your heart firmly fixed on Jesus, then you will have all that you need for life and godliness. You can live a contented life, not struggling, not striving, but living peacefully. God's word says, seek peace and actively pursue it. Go after it. Abide in His word and His will. You know, what I've found during this time that has really, really encouraged me and helped to centre me has been a couple of particular songs that come out of the Elevation stream. One is called Surrounded, and it describes our position as we go through the storms of life. The other is called Jireh, and it speaks about how God is all-sufficient and that He is more than able and more than enough to meet our needs in every season of life. And so what I've done is I've asked the beautiful Hayley and her lovely friend Michaela, who are both from Endless Praise. They're going to come right now and they're actually going to minister in song and they're going to sing Surrounded and Jireh to you. And what I want to invite you to do is to have a Selah moment. Yeah? Where you just allow yourself to receive, to lean in, to hear from God through the words of these songs. And so I don't know if you want to close your eyes or whatever you want to do, but this morning I know as they sing that God is going to minister His peace. Yeah? He's going to minister His absolute confident assurance that everything's going to be okay. Okay, thanks, girls.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. Doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice. carry it in the rhythm of the wind and call you out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You'll never be more loved than I am right now. 'Cause you are a Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. You're forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't wanna forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side when the sun goes down. You'll never be more loved than I am right now. You are a child. He's forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Chosen, and I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I could imagine, and that is enough. Oh, and that is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh. And this is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. 'Cause you are enough. And this is how I fight my battles.